Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 300, 300 episodes of the CJ Evolution podcast made possible by you, the listener and supporter. Enjoy this show. 300 episodes of the CJ Evolution podcast. I cannot believe that. I still cannot believe we're at 300 episodes. We started this show a little over 3 years ago. We've come so far. Over half the shows have been guests, amazing guests on the show. Each and every one of them, I hope you learned something from, had some great takeaways. I know I have. This show is going to be a compilation of some guests I thought were really powerful. They've all been powerful, but unfortunately, I can't get them on all in one episode. But you're going to love this show, highlight some of the favorite guests I've had over the last year. And special thanks, once again, to all those brave men and women who are just sacrificing every day of the week to protect us and our communities. Whatever you're doing in the criminal justice field, maybe you're a deputy, a patrol officer, maybe you work in corrections, whatever you are doing, thank you for doing it in a very difficult environment. You have much support. So over the last several months, I've been asked by a lot of listeners whether or not I would be interested in coaching them one-on-one, and the answer is absolutely yes. I am super excited. Stay tuned. This is coming up. I'm going to be offering some coaching one-on-one, maybe group coaching too, so stay tuned. That is coming up in the near future. Folks, if you love coffee, you're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. I am a big fan of this company, especially their Lion's Mane mushroom coffee. You're going to love the taste. It doesn't taste like mushrooms. Head over to cjevolution.com. You're going to see the link to Four Sigmatic. Check out these amazing products. You're going to get a discount, 15%, using the promo code CJEVO. On to the show. I remember when I had Mike Gillette on the show. He's such an amazing guest. He's a former paratrooper, SWAT commander, successful author, and he's an overall badass. And he wrote a best-selling book called Mind Boss, which basically the premise behind the book is you can do anything you want by changing your mindset. This was episode 268 of the CJ Evolution podcast. And here's just a little snippet of the show with Mike Gillette.
You know, obviously, the time that I spent in law enforcement, you know, was sort of pivotal for my own personal development, as well as, you know, kind of informing everything else that I've done subsequent to that. The main thing that happened for me tangentially with my law enforcement time is that I got involved in training others very early on. And I realized I had an aptitude for that. I'd certainly had a passion for it. And that is something that continues to this day. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always seen myself as a teacher, and that goes all the way back to my cop days. Mm-hmm. And everything else that I've done sort of subsequent to that is all really sort of an extension or an accident having to do with, you know, sort of seeing myself in that teacher role.
Well, I appreciate you serving as a police officer, Mike. And the obvious question I always ask, especially when I have other Leos on the show, is why did you get in law enforcement? What was the reason? Did you always want to serve in law enforcement or be a cop? I mean, what was the reason?
No, it was as far away from my young life as it could be, both in terms of as an idea or a potential goal, or as something that was even possible for me. I think I got the urge, if you will, to pursue law enforcement, really to sort of save myself. Mm-hmm. I came from an extremely violent, chaotic upbringing, and the negativity that sort of accompanied all of that pursued me. Until at age 18, I unsuccessfully tried to take my own life. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was the most prodigious consumer of every toxic substance you can imagine. And then suddenly I wasn't. You know, in my case, it was the result of going to church for the first time with my new girlfriend, mm-hmm. who is now my wife of 36 plus years. And in the sort of radical 180 that ensued, I decided that what I would want to do with my life, because I suddenly felt compelled to find something productive to do with my life, is, you know, what does every young cop say at every interview? Why do you want to be a cop? Well, I want to help. right? We all say that.
Yeah.
And I think sincere, it certainly was. I mean, it's perhaps a naive sounding thing to say in retrospect, but at the time it was very sincere. It was really true for me, you know, but we're not like regular people.
Yeah.
I think that's why those of us are sort of attracted to, you know, lives of service, even when those can be difficult or those can be dangerous and so forth. You know, we're not in it for the gratitude and the backslapping. You know, it's a living. It's not a great living, but it's, you know, this is a lifestyle. This is a way of life.
Yeah.
And that was always so profoundly attractive to me. You know, the idea of living a life of meaning as opposed to just living.
The one thing I loved about, I love the whole book, but the way you started out the book, you talked about how you were, you know, this poor, scared, skinny kid growing up, and you, and I'm paraphrasing, but you walked by and you would look up at this big, huge, I can't remember, it was a mountain or something that you wanted to scale, but you were always afraid until you started doing it. And you started saying, all right, I'm going to do this, until you mastered your fear of heights, right?
Yeah, that's true. I do speak about, well, I was afraid of everything.
Yeah,
I had a rational fear of heights as a kid, and that was something that just it plagued me to the point where I was probably just mad enough to, you know, fling myself at the rock in question, and, you know, and now suddenly we're doing that thing.
But you know, Mike, that a lot of people, at least the people, you know, I met a lot of people in my life, as you have. A lot of people would have said, screw that. I'm not doing that crap. I'm too afraid. You conquered it. You kept going, even though you were still afraid. And that's what got you past that fear, right? I mean, a lot of people wouldn't do that, at least in my opinion.
The way that we deal with things is by dealing with things.
Check out Mike Gillette. You can hear the whole interview, episode 268 on the CJ Evolution podcast. And go get his book, Mind Boss. You will not be disappointed. Before I retired from law enforcement, I had the honor and privilege of attending an event that was sponsored by an amazing organization called Shield 616. This nonprofit does amazing work with law enforcement agencies around the country. If they cannot afford to buy much needed body armor for their brave men and women who protect their communities, Jake Skifstad is the founder of this, again, amazing organization, and his group goes into the communities, rallies the communities to give and donate funds so local law enforcement agencies can buy much needed body armor for their troops. So you're going to love this episode, this little snippet. You can find the full episode on the CJ Evolution website, episode 277. Here's a little snippet from Jake Skifstad. For those listeners out there that don't know what Shield 616 is, can you tell us what the organization's about, Jake?
Absolutely. So how we got started, it goes back actually quite a while, December of 2007. I was with our Colorado Springs Police Department for just under 14 years. And in December of 2007, I responded to the New Life Church active shooter. And then if you fast forward to Black Friday 2015, I was one of the officers. At the time, I was attached to our SWAT team. But I responded to the Black Friday Planned Parenthood active shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously in that one, we had five officers shot. Garrett was killed, along with other civilians shot and killed. And as you know, that affects the whole community, and mm-hmm. it affects all law enforcement. And obviously it really affects those that were there engaged in that situation. And obviously our goal, our mission is two things. We want to protect our protectors. That's what our hashtag is, protect our protectors. And we want to make sure that our law enforcement is protected out there from whatever threat comes their way.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as we all know, there's a lot of rifles out there. And if you do any research into a lot of these active shooters, you know, the weapon of choice is a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people out there don't realize when you see a police officer, you know, a true first responder, the men and women in the police cars, I'm not talking about SWAT, but those men and women, you know, the stuff that they wear is only designed for handguns. And so whenever an officer goes up against a threat with a rifle, they have absolutely zero protection against that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is make sure that all of our law enforcement has access to that equipment that is extremely expensive. And the way we go about doing that is we want to rally the local community around our law enforcement. we all see what is happening to law enforcement across this country. We all see these very violent situations. We see these active shooters. We see all these ambushes. You know, we just see a lot of hostility intentionally being directed towards law enforcement. And so we got the vision of, obviously, Shield 616 of let's rally our community around our law enforcement and let's help fundraise to help provide something that's potentially life-saving, mm-hmm. this rifle-rated armor. But what makes us unique, and I think why we're so successful, is when somebody donates, whether it's an individual, a family, a business, a church, a foundation, a community group, whoever, they're going to have a chance to get to know the officer that their donation goes to. And so we do what we call a vest presentation, where we line up all the gear that's been donated in the front of the room. We invite all the officers and their families to come in that are receiving the gear, but we also invite the donor. And so the donor gets to come in and not only see exactly where their money went, but then they get to see that officer receive that gear. And then towards the end of the presentation, we actually have all the donors come stand with their officer. And I think it's just at that moment when that donor realizes truly what they had just done. And the fact that their donation just went from a monetary value to priceless, because that officer is now going to be trusting their life with something they provided.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it gets emotional. You know, it's a very powerful ceremony. And it's just so awesome to see these officers being blessed and supported. You see them smiling. You see, you know, these a lot of them are strangers, the donor and the officer. And you see handshakes. You see hugs. You just see, you see the law enforcement being uplifted. And you see, you know, the community members proud about what they have done. And so, you know, at the very end, we take a big group picture, and I think that's a really powerful picture because it shows our community standing as one with their law enforcement. And so, you know, it's been a lot of fun. We're very blessed to do what we do. And, you know, any agency that's out there, you know, we want to help. And, you know, for those folks that are out there, you know, we're not a grant. We're not a bank. All the funds come from their community. We want those law enforcement officers to be supported by their community. And so, you know, we'll help rally those communities and get them behind their officers. And before you know it, you know, that whole agency will be taken care of. And not only will they be better protected, but there's going to be some better relationship building going on between the law enforcement and the local community.
Such a powerful interview with my friend Jake Skifstad. And I was at the ceremony, like I said, and it is very powerful, very emotional. And again, you can check out the full episode, episode 277 with Jake Skifstad of Shield 616. I remember when I was on the street many years ago, sometimes my weight, my fitness level would fluctuate, and there's no excuse for it. I needed to be taking better care of myself, eating better. And this little clip from Mark Hildebrand, you're going to love. He's a cop out in LA, LAPD, and at one time he was very overweight, but he changed his mindset like we've been talking about. It's so important for Leos to be in top shape, to take care of yourself, both mentally and physically and emotionally. And it was just an amazing time I had with Mark Hildebrand on the show. You're going to love this little clip, and this is going to be episode 290, an amazing guy doing amazing work for so many first responders out there. Now, you and your wife, right, are doing so many great things for Leos out there everywhere, Mark, with fitness and nutrition. And I want to get into that in a minute. But what was the catalyst? What was the tipping point that got you into what you're doing right now? Now, I'm not talking about law enforcement, but helping other Leos with fitness and nutrition.
Right. I love that question. Really, it started off by me screwing it up for such a long time. So I got to the point where I was about 100 pounds more than I am today. So I was creeping up 267 pounds. I had let kind of like everything really take over, and sort of like my life kind of revolved around the career. Fast food, not taking care of myself, not understanding fitness or nutrition, not surrounding myself with people who are positive people who were like steering me in the right direction. And I really got off course. And when my health struggled, my relationship struggled, you know, I had the aches and pains in my body. I couldn't get over a wall. I couldn't take care. I didn't feel confident out in the field. And it stemmed out of this desire of wanting to change. So I started, you know, trying millions of different things that are out there, all the different kinds of diets, all the different kinds of working out. And I found one in particular that worked extremely well. I ended up losing 100 pounds. I got into the best shape of my life, been able to maintain that now for about 7 years. And that desire of always wanting to help other people, because oftentimes as Leos and first responders in general, we tend to do things more for other people than we do for ourselves. But I had this desire of saying, you know what, there's a lot of people who are in our career who lose track of their health and their fitness, and they don't realize the power how it has in over every other area of our life. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to just pass on this newfound energy, excitement, confidence, all the things that I've been able to, by starting off with my health and fitness, be able to take control and pass that on to other law enforcement officers. And then my wife obviously got involved, starting helping out law enforcement officer wives. And so we basically have formed this this team to really help law enforcement officers with struggles that I have personally been through and found the solutions to.
Yeah, I love it. And a couple things that stood out. It's all great, amazing. But what really stood out to me, Mark, and I'm a firm believer in this, and you said it, is surrounding yourself with the right people. Right. That is so important. Mindset, right? I mean, you have to have that can-do mindset. I mean, you were overweight. And you said, you know, I'm going to do this. And you basically changed your mindset, right? That is so important. And why is it so hard for people to realize that?
Right. And that's the question right there. I think a lot of it has to just do with the fact of change. We're kind of nervous and scared about it. And we're thinking that, that it's something that may not be possible for us, or that we've heard it from other people. But I think like just that thought of change, as well as like specifically asking for help ourselves. Mm-hmm. I know that for me, I kind of got stuck in that. You're the person who responds to people's, you know, radio calls, and you're there to kind of like help solve everybody's problems. And then you think that less of yourself because you actually need that help. That whole surrounding yourself with the right people, that is so critical. Because what I realized is before, when I was unhealthy, I was surrounding myself by other people who were unhealthy, other people who were negative, other people who didn't exercise, other people who didn't make their families a priority, other people who wanted more overtime instead of, you know, going out home at end of watch. And what I noticed is that when I made that switch, when I started to realize how powerful mindset was, and I switched and started to hang out with people who did care about their health and their fitness, and they did care about their families, like I was tugged in that direction too. And we kind of could work off of each other. You know, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jim Rohn, I think, said that. And I mean, it's just amazing. And everything is connected, Mark. And tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Everything is connected to your health, right? I mean, you know, if you are not healthy, everything is going to suffer. Your performance, your relationships, everything.
Yeah. It's kind of this thing where so many people think taking care of yourself is like one of the most selfish things to do, but it is the exact opposite. The most selfish thing you could do is not take care of yourself, because you won't show up for your family. You won't show up for your partners. You won't show up for the community. You won't show up for yourself. You won't be around on this planet to really give the best of you. And it all revolves around your health and fitness. You know, I talk a lot about health and fitness. I'm the first responder fitness guy on Instagram and Facebook, and I've got my blog art and stuff like that. But ultimately what it has done for me, my health and fitness, is helped teach me how to make the things that were really important in my life important. Because, you know, we always say that family is important. We always say that all of these things are important, but we really don't act on that. And I think inevitably what fitness and like basically taking my fitness and nutrition into getting that into alignment has basically been able to spread over into all of these different areas, because like you said, it is all interconnected.
Such a great guy, and he is helping so many people out there, a lot of first responders. That includes fire, EMS, of course, Leo's, Mark Hildebrand. You're going to find this entire episode 290, on the CJ Evolution website, and reach out to Mark. He can help you get on that weight loss fitness regimen that you are looking for. I was so excited when Matt Belair decided to come on the show, and he is the author of The Zen Athlete. I am reading this book right now. It is amazing. It's a guide to self-mastery. And in this episode, you're going to hear the little clip in a few moments. Again, we talk about mindset and how Matt teaches people how to become the best person they can. We only have this one life, folks. Remember that. I think we forget about that. I know I have. And Matt Belair righted my compass again to get that mindset that so many of us need. Enjoy this little clip from Matt Belair. Matt, you do so much
I mean, we'll get into your book, your podcast. You talk to so many people out there. How did you get started in what you were doing? What was the catalyst that set you on your path?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Well, definitely with the podcast, if you're talking about that specifically, the start of the podcast was because I've been kind of, we call it like a black sheep, or just very different than my friends, you know, like when we were all going to university or they were going to university, I was thinking about traveling and I had a little bit different way of thinking. And so, you know, in my early 20s, I was in Whistler and I was researching a lot of stuff since my childhood, being a martial artist, on mindset, consciousness, performance, human potential, you know, everything that evolved around, like, human consciousness, performance, mysteries. It all was just so fascinating to me. And so there was only two friends, even at 25, that I could talk to about this. And I was like, man, I was like, we should just record these conversations so we can share them with other people and they can kind of, like, you know, tune in and you know, learn something from it. And so the first episode was with a friend of mine, Anders, like a good friend. And I said, hey, buddy, do you mind if I kind of, like, do it in an interview format? Because I think I'm going to just do a podcast. And so we did that. And I didn't know what I was doing. And then the second one, I don't even know why I chose him, but it was Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. And I think it was because I was reading The Four Agreements at the time.
Yeah.
And such a wonderful book. And I know that it's a family lineage. The Toltec lineage is passed down. So his son held that same lineage and same knowledge, and he had just written a book too, and he's a really great author and speaker in his own right. And I just thought, you know what, he's going to be a little bit more accessible. I probably, you know, I have a shot at getting him. And he said yes. And a few months later, I completely forgot. I kind of self-sabotaged, and I woke up, I was like, oh my goodness, it's today. And I just went over to my dad's house and I fired up, and he was on the other side and didn't really know what the heck I was doing. And so from there, I was like, okay, cool. Now I'm just going to start reaching out to people and seeing if people give me yeses. And then number four was Jarek Robbins. And so, you know, I had really incredible guests for the first 10 episodes, and just kind of kept going from there and set the intention just to interview, you know, people who were inspiring to me, who were knowledgeable, who were leaders in either spirituality, consciousness, peak performance. And, you know, there's obviously some really out there topics if you're listening to it, but that was the intention, is to share the wisdom and stories of these incredible people that I felt like we needed more conversations in the mainstream.
And I love it, because the show is the Matt Belair podcast. And I love it, brother, because we were just talking before we went live about, I was listening to episode 224, maybe it's You, Cut the Crap, Face Your Fears, Love Your Life. But you can transition. So, I mean, that's one episode. And then you talk about ancient aliens and stuff like that, which I think is cool, man. You're all over the place talking about different and very, very interesting topics.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, because, like, for me, I was just curious about what is actually going on in the world. So when I was in my teens, I was actually researching war. I didn't understand how there was still war and starvation on the planet. It didn't make any sense to me. And in governments, you know, I was like, well, these guys are full of baloney. And so I was like, what is actually going on here? And so I kept going down rabbit holes and exploring. And so, you know, I think it was last year in October, I went to Egypt with the Resonant Science Foundation, when it was a group of physicists, astrophysicists, geologists, mathematicians, really brilliant people. And I've been doing a lot of research for a long time on really deep topics, and just curious about what is actually going on here, because I am curious about how this world works, what's actually happening here. And so, you know, just to sum up the rabbit hole of the conspiracy stuff, I was looking at psychology, and I was like, how do we have war? And I looked at just manipulation, mass manipulation, hypnosis, and things like that. And there's a great documentary called The Century of Self, and it's about Edward Bernays, who is Sigmund Freud's nephew. Wow. And used persuasion techniques for World War I and II. And you can also look at Zeitgeist and the Zeitgeist series, and there's really interesting information there, and as well as Thrive documentary. And there's like a couple soft spots to start, but it really explores really deep questions. And so when I find a person who I think has real knowledge and wisdom on a really deep topic, I want to explore that with them. And then I can kind of go across between my own research and my guests to see, you know, what elements are common, you know, where is it kind of baloney, where are things starting to line up, and
hopefully have a clearer idea of this incredible mystery that we're living in. Yeah. Conscious, you know, just life itself and what's happening on the planet.
Now, before we were talking a little bit again before we went live, and you actually wanted to be in law enforcement, or you studied security, you know, when you were in school, correct, Matt?
Yeah, 100%. When I was in high school, I knew I wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. And so I went in there and I was like, well, I was thinking about being an entrepreneur, and they told me what the starting wage was. I was like, well, what's the starting wage to be a police officer? And it was much higher. And so that was really, that was it. And so I went to, did 2 years of law and security, and I learned about the police force. I have friends in the police force. I really respect that profession. I respect any emergency services. It's a really challenging job, really, really interesting space. I studied a little bit about law. I'm definitely no expert, but, you know, learned a little bit about, like, is it maritime sea law where, you know, mostly it's like statutes to like a banker, and you know, when you open the gate, you're boarding a ship. And so, you know, we're under like just way too many legislations and overtaxation, and nothing is, I don't know, that's a whole laundry list of stuff that, you know, your listeners are going to know a lot more of. But I do respect people who are trying to help other people, and they're going into dangerous situations and they're trying to do good for their community. So I definitely consider that for, you know, very seriously. And as I got older, it just didn't really fit to the lifestyle I wanted, because even a 9-to-5, you know, that wasn't for me. I had a lot of traveling to do and a lot of exploring and Indiana Jones adventures and snowboarding and things like that.
Well, you did it for a while, and thank you for your service. And you talk about so many different important topics, Matt. I want to shift a little bit, and I want to talk about leadership for a moment. You talk about how we can become better leaders, more effective and powerful leaders. What are some thoughts on that?
Yeah, leadership is a huge topic, and just mindset, peak performance, and all that kind of thing. So growing up a martial artist, it was all about mind, body, spirit, and you integrated those. That was what you did. That was a part of the training. And in traditional sports, they don't really focus on that. And so, you know, part of my training was going to China and training with 34th generation Shaolin masters. And one of the masters could break stone with two fingers, bigger pieces over his head than his elbows, doing just absolutely extraordinary things, you know, really testing the limits of human potential. I'm like, wow, like, how is that possible? Mm-hmm. And in interviewing him, I realized, because I was trying to see if there was a trick. I wanted to make sure there was no trick to it. So there's a translator there. They can't even speak English. And I said, trick, what, you know, how did you do that? Most people are going to think it's unbelievable. And and I was like, what's the trick? And he's like, no trick. I ask him again, and he's like, no trick. I ask him a third time just to make sure. And he kind of gets annoyed, and he starts slamming his fingers down on the desk. And he says, I think it was like 8 years of Qigong. So hard conditioning the fingers. That's hard Qigong. You condition the body by punching a tree, kicking a tree, and there's dent holes in the trees outside the academy from people doing that type of training. And also years of Qigong, moving his energy to his fingers. Yeah. And so I realized at that point, I was like, wow, like, what an extraordinary, you know, like, to do something superhuman, you know, it was ordinary. What was extraordinary was the discipline. Yeah. That was superhuman discipline to such a simple idea to show what is possible. So, you know, when we're talking about leadership, really it comes down to personal integrity, you know, and for me, it's like, who are you really? What is you? Are you being honest with yourself? And then are you expressing yourself in a way that's congruent with those beliefs? So a lot of people are in professions and jobs that aren't congruent with their passion or calling, or people call it their purpose or whatever, because they need to make ends meet. And that's a fair part of the game for sure. We all need to do that. But we kind of forget that other side. So when we're in any kind of environment, like you're a sports team, you know, when I'm working with teams, it's really about team congruence, but being the best individual that you can possibly be in that team environment. So when you train martial arts, there's a mutual respect with one another, although it comes down to one-on-one competition. And so if you can have kind of that attitude of like, you're being the best that you can be, and you have the right tools, the right mindset, and the right skills, which not a lot of people talk about, to be your best, that example set is the most powerful thing that you can do.
To hear the rest of this great interview with Matt Belair, head over to cjevolution.com. Check out episode 292 and check out Matt's book, The Zen Athlete, A Guide to Self-Mastery. I'm reading it right now. You will not be disappointed, folks. One of the best conferences I've been to in a very long time was the Conclave of Warriors, and that was in December of 18. It was down in Miami. It was just such an amazing event. Had so many world-class speakers, some of them, you know, Justin Redman, you know, Brad Lee, the list goes on. And Rafa Conde, my good friend, is the one who started this event
There's going to be a Conclave of Warriors 2 coming up at the end of this year that I'm going to. Hope to see all of you there, too. And this was really a great interview with Rafa Conde. He hosts and is the creator of the world-class and top-ranked Man of War podcast. And he's such an amazing guy, teaching men how to be warriors in every aspect of your life. Fitness, you know, training, mental health, nutrition. This guy does it all. Check out this clip for my interview with Rafa Conde. What is happening with, you know, the alpha male? Where's it going? What is happening to men out there who they're not learning what it that need they need to learn to be successful? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a huge problem out there right now. Okay, and people will tell you, no, it's not, you know, and I can go into police departments and say, you know, when you talk about all this sensitivity, this and sensitivity, mm-hmm. that, I mean, look, there's in life right now are this. The male is taking a backseat to basically everything out there. And when I say everything, I'm talking about the realities of the world. I mean, you're looking at television, you're looking at movies, you're looking at, and don't get me wrong, I have nothing, I mean, I have a beautiful daughter, I'm all about women should be, you know, 100%, you know, to be able to do everything and anything. But when you are looking at TV, seeing that, what happened to the John Waynes? What happened to, you know, the Clint Eastwoods? What happened to that type of rawness, that gentlemanness, but at the same time, what we call that man that is supposed to be a provider, that is supposed to be a protector, a defender, all right? That Spartan call, that, you know, Viking call, that warrior mindset. I don't see it, Pat. And when I tell you when I don't see it, it's I see it filter out of the police academy and the recruits that I'm getting now. It's all about touchy-feely, you know, huggy-huggy. They don't really get it until they get smacked in the face a couple of times and they're like, okay, this is real. You know, police work when you're out there on the street is real. And from a man's perspective, you could see that there's a drop off of, and we can go in here for hours, but there's a drop off of that confidence,
yeah,
right? That man brings. I don't see it there. I don't see it there in business. I don't see it there in the police world. I don't see it there in our society as a whole. So this emasculation that we're seeing here, it's a trend that has been spiraling down, I want to say, for at least a good decade.
And I wonder if it's just, I mean, a lot of it, I think, even politically, political correctness, I just don't, yeah, it just seems like you can't do or say certain things anymore. I've seen it too, a lot of these young officers, not all of them, but a lot of them, you know, have never gotten hit before. I'm not advocating violence or anything like that, but I remember, you know, getting into fights when I was a kid. Again, not saying that's a good thing, but you can't really do anything with cadets these days. Again, not all of them. You can't, you know, rough them up in training or anything, or it's, oh my God, you're being too hard on them. You can't do that. And I'm just like, where is, I agree with you. You're a cop. You got a gun and a badge, and sometimes you're going to have to mix it up.
Absolutely. And you see that from colleges, for example, police academies, where they're doing away from, you know, they do away from the DI, you know, instructors, you know, the drill instructors. They're just saying, no, no more. Now they want more of a college-based atmosphere in a police academy. You know, and I call bull crap on that, because it's you need to have – this is a hands-on game. No matter what anyone says out there, the reality is this. When you are a police officer – you need to understand the concept that at any time you must go hands-on. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, I mean, you know that, Pat. If you don't have that within you, you need to go fry burgers at Burger King.
Yeah. I remember being in the Army down at Fort Benning, and I remember when I was in, before I got shipped off to airborne school, they were instituting, I don't know, you probably heard of these before, and I don't even know if they're still around, stress cards. In boot camp, they were pulling them out, you know, whenever the recruit got too stressed out by the DI, and I was thinking, what the hell is that? But yeah, it's just crazy. So I want to shift gears a little bit, talk about your podcast, Man of War Podcast. What made you start this? What was the catalyst?
We were just talking about it.
Yeah,
the emasculation of men, and the fact that I believe in my heart that there are still some warrior-minded individuals out there. And I don't necessarily believe warrior-minded individuals just in the battleground, but right in business and life, talking about being that warrior in your own battlefield, right? In life, in business, in whatever task that you have decided to take on. And for the most part, being a warrior, man, it's all about bettering yourself to be an exemplary individual for your family, for others, to lead by example, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring this because I really believe in my heart, in my soul, that there are still men that will be able to live by these virtues of honor, courage, integrity, you know, have solid ethics across the board and increase their mindset. Mm-hmm. So when I started this, man, I got to tell you, you know, within a few months, it took off, and I'm very, very excited about it. I mean, we have people from all over the world writing me every day and just some great stuff.
The one thing I love, you keep mentioning mindset, and that's the one thing, you know, Rafa, that a lot of people don't get out there. What you put out there, what you think is what you're going to get. If you think life is shitty and everything ever is going to get better and I'm just, this is what I'm supposed to be doing and that's it and nothing can ever get better. I'm a big believer, and I know you probably, well, I'm assuming you are, the law of attraction. If you think life is crap and nothing's ever going to get better, guess what? That's what you're going to get. And so it's very important for the listener to understand that Rafa, first of all, knows what the hell he's talking about. And it's very, very powerful what he's saying about mindset. But a lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand. And I didn't at one time in my life, Rafa, that I didn't understand how powerful the mind is. And what you put out there to the universe is what you're going to get back.
I agree. I mean, you couldn't have said it better. I mean, what you put out there typically is what you're going to get back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my philosophy is you give of yourself even when you have nothing to give, mm-hmm. right? And the more you do that and the more you give out there, believe me, somehow, some way, you're going to get it back tenfold.
Oh, yeah. So cool talking to my good friend Rafa Conde. You're going to love the rest of this episode, 238 on the CJ Evolution podcast. Just an amazing guy doing amazing things for men and women everywhere around the world. This guy's everywhere. And again, Conclave of Warriors 2 is coming up this year, this December in Miami. Check it out. You can go over to manofwar.com website, get all the information. And again, just an amazing guy, Rafa Conde. Another eye-opening interview that I had recently was with Perdeep Sangha. This guy is just such an amazing individual, doing so much for so many people. He's an authority on performance psychology, mindfulness, leadership, business growth. And you might be thinking, what does that have to do with law enforcement? It has everything to do with criminal justice and law enforcement. You're going to love Perdeep Sangha. And check out this clip from episode 293. You know, that got you started on your journey where you're at today.
Oh, wow. Well, where do I start? You know, it's been a long road, but I would say the biggest catalyst was I was done with it. Mm-hmm. I was at a point in my life, I was struggling in my relationship and my marriage when there was absolutely no reason to be struggling. We have one of those ideal family situations where things were just great and things were going well, but I just was not happy with myself. And we had young children at that time. So I was struggling. I had a great executive position. Things were going awesome, but I just knew something inside was just not right. It just didn't feel like I was living the life that I was meant to live. I literally just walked into work one day and I quit.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was a very interesting moment. I still remember it because everybody that I spoke to that day said, are you nuts? Like, did something happen? What happened? What's going on in your life? And I never looked back after that. It was an interesting moment. And ever since then, actually, my relationship is exactly where I want it to be. We have a great family. Work and business has taken off. So it just, to me, just proved that when you're in alignment with yourself, when you feel like you're doing what you want to do in life, things just fall into place.
Isn't that amazing? Because from the outside looking in, I was reading your bio, I was reading some information, and I'm reading, oh my God, you know, Perdeep, you know, he went to MIT, went to Stanford, studied at some of the top business schools in North America, And there's other things that I read about, and I was like, oh my God. But from an outsider looking in, it would be like, this guy has the perfect life. But it's amazing how many people think, they look at other people and they say, oh my God, they have the perfect life and nothing can go wrong. But they don't know other people. And a lot of people, like you did, Pradeep, is you were struggling. And it just got to a point where you said, you know what, screw it, I'm done with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm so amazed, as we were chatting earlier, how many people out there, both men and women, who are struggling, that you think everything is going okay. But I would say, just from my personal experience in working with many entrepreneurs, is that 9 out of 10 of them are challenged in some way, shape, or form in their life, and they're not happy. They're not fulfilled. They don't have the joy. They don't have the inner peace. And they're just what I call it, you know, using brute force to just make it through. Because what do we hear? You got to be persistent, right? You got to push through all your challenges. And a lot of people just end up wasting a lot of energy doing that.
Why are people, you talk to a ton of people, why are people, because I get that too, Pradeep, and where people think that they don't have options, that they don't, they're trapped and they don't have any other options. And I tell people that I talk to that, I think you're only trapped if you have that mindset that you're trapped. I think if you really want out, if you really want to do something different, if you really want to follow your passion, I know it's a cliche, but you can do whatever you want to do. It's just changing your mindset. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And so this is the really interesting part, because this is exactly what I fell into as I was coaching entrepreneurs, because my background traditionally for decades has been in business. Mm-hmm. But I also study neuroscience and psychology. So when I first started out, I was gung-ho about helping entrepreneurs build their businesses. And I very soon found out that 80% of the work that I was doing with them was really on the self-mastery side, mm-hmm. was helping them manage their emotions, take their thought patterns, basically change their mindset, and elevate their energy levels, which really basically transitioned how they were operating as an entrepreneur. And that was the most important thing for them. So it's, you know, a lot of us look to strategies and tactics or things towards that direction that will change our life. But, you know, it sounds kind of cliche, but everything that we need in life is really within us when we learn to find it, when we can actually find it, and actually unleashes and unlocks that, what I call it's an inner force. Every human being has an inner force within them. And when you align your energy with your thought and your, basically your emotions, which are the three most important things, that's how you experience life as a human being. When you align those, basically you can open up any door in life, because you just have that much energy. You just have that much drive.
Yeah. And one of the things that helped me years ago, about 6 years ago, is I got into a mindfulness routine where I started taking better care of myself physically. And I also, you know, just started meditating. And it was hard at first for me, but it has changed my life, Pradeep. And when I tell people that, some people laugh at me, other people get it. But how important do you think mindfulness is for a person and for their lives and for their spiritual wellness and all that stuff?
Oh, wow. You know, again, where do I start? It's probably the most important thing, because I've seen it transform people's lives. Mm-hmm. I've seen it transform my clients' lives. I've seen it transform my own life, my wife's life. It's transformed many, many people that I've seen around me. And here's what it comes down to. The mindfulness is an ancient art. It's been around for thousands of years. But there's a lot of science now, neuroscience, that's actually shaping and proving what people knew thousands of years ago, and that mindfulness actually changes your mind. It actually changes your neuroplasticity. Basically, you can change your brain cells, your neurons, how they function, how they fire, just by practicing mindfulness and meditation. Mm-hmm. And when you understand that premise, you can literally change your brain. You can enhance your brain. You can elevate the level of thinking just by meditation. There's a lot of studies that have come out that now show that your heart also has a certain frequency as well. And most people live in such a state of stress these days, mm-hmm. where your heart and your mind are not aligned from a frequency standpoint. This is proven by science. But when you go into a state of meditation, you can actually align your heart's frequency with your brain waves.
Jeez.
And what ends up happening is you go into this state of, which is inner peace, which really allows your body and your mind to heal. The reason why so many people, we have so many people with anxiety, depression, and it's getting worse by the newer generations. Each generation is getting a higher concentration of depression and anxiety, is because everybody just go, 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 go. They're not letting their minds actually relax and heal their bodies, because our body is meant to heal itself. Mm-hmm. If we get out of our own way, we can actually do so many different things. Do we just need to shut our mind off sometimes and actually just veg, right? Yeah. Reset ourselves.
I've interviewed over 200 and something people for my show, and successful people like you, Pradeep. And I would say 99% of them have a mindfulness routine. That's a big part of their success. It's probably a big part of your success. So I don't know, understand why more people don't do this.
Well, I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges that I see most people face is the act of actual meditation. I think a lot of people are open to it. Mm-hmm. But what I find is that people just get frustrated when they're trying to meditate because they have so many thoughts flowing through their minds. And you have to understand that it's just like anything else in life. You have to practice it. It's just like going to the gym and working out. You're not going to build the biceps immediately. You're mm-hmm. not going to get to that level of strength. You have to keep pushing through. I went through that same phase as well. When I first started meditating, it was kind of like, okay, you know, I can do this. This is working. But I'm not really seeing the results. Okay, so let me, if I don't see immediate results, what's the point? And it literally took me about 6 months where you start experiencing the sense of just peace. Mm-hmm. And peace that is just, it's just, I can't even explain. It's just this phenomenal peace that you would just never get when you're awake. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is a moment when you realize that you just, when you put your thoughts away, that is such a great place to be, because we have 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. And how do we manage those? It's mm-hmm. almost impossible to manage all of those. And so meditation allows us to put that aside.
A great and informative interview with my good friend Pradeep Sangha, episode 293, folks. I am so excited for the next 300 episodes for the CJ Evolution podcast. Again, thank you so much for making this dream a possibility. Thank you for tuning in, sharing it with your family and friends. We got a lot of good things coming, so stay tuned on the CJ Evolution podcast.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution podcast.